Proudly presented by Provident Payments, this is Hometown Heroes, celebrating everyday Americans who answer the call of duty.
Welcome back to Hometown Heroes and our visit today with 97-year-old John Stokes of San Leandro, California. Maybe you can catch him sometime aboard the World War II Liberty ship SS Jeremiah O'Brien in San Francisco. I have a link to the ship posted for you at hometownheroesradio.com. Mr. Stokes told us how he joined the Navy at age 17, and I'm wondering, did it make any difference for you whether you were assigned to a Navy ship with an all-Navy crew as opposed to being part of a smaller Navy contingent aboard a merchant vessel like you ended up on, the SS Saginaw Victory?
I really didn't think about it much, you know, for what I had been stateside so long, but I did know about the armed guard because through the hospital, I guess I found out about it. So it really didn't bother me that I wasn't on a Navy ship, but later in life, I was on two destroyers.
Well, and another part of your story, I mean, you talked about getting sick because of where they had you sleeping in Farragut, and then the domino effect of that, and months before you got back on track. I'm sure you've probably thought about that over the years, how your story might have been different had you shipped out the same time as some of your friends.
Yeah, I was really looking forward to that, going to radio school, going to the University of Chicago. I thought, having me finished high school here, I'm going to a university. But it was, they had a school there, and I was fortunate to get on the draft. Usually after you took all the intelligence tests and stuff, they assigned you to what I guess they felt you were capable of, and it was radio school or gunner school, and they had me on a radio school deal. So I might have ended up in the armed guard anyway if I'd gone to gunner school, but I probably would have gotten a rate too, because I never got moving around like that. There was never a chance to become a petty officer and so on. So when I was discharged, I was still seaman first class.
I guess the other piece of that, have you ever thought, well, who knows, maybe that development, as frustrating as it was for you, might have saved your life?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I figure the Lord was really good to me. I didn't realize it at the time because I don't think I was a true Christian at that time. And I'm not saying I'm a true Christian now, but, you know, I didn't... have much worries then. So
eventually, as you know, as we catch back up, you get assigned to this ship, the Saginaw Victory, an ammunition ship. Yes. So if you guys get hit, it's not good.
No, it's not good at all. And we didn't have any idea where we were going. And our first stop was Aniwetok. Then we went to Ulithi. Uh-huh. And that was the staging area for Okinawa. And I think we were in Ulithi for a couple of weeks before we got the orders to leave. We still didn't know exactly where we were going, but it was Okinawa. We arrived in Okinawa on the 12th of April. So, and the invasion was on the 1st of April. Mm-hmm. So we were there the 12th day.
Well, and I'm curious too, and maybe there's not a lot to report there, but maybe there is. That's a long journey all the way over there. You're on an ammunition ship. We know statistically now there was no branch of service more dangerous than the merchant marine. And you're not in the merchant marine, you're in the Navy, but you're on one of their ships. Absolutely. And the reason it was the most dangerous, because so many of them got sunk. One of your jobs is to help protect that ship, right? So were there some threats? Were you always on alert? What was that journey just out there like?
Well, we did have one threat of a submarine spotting. I didn't see it, and that was told to me, and I don't know whether a torpedo was shot at us or not, but that was on the way up. We were not in convoy all the way up to Ulithi. Then we did go in convoy with about 12 or 15 other ships to Okinawa.
And as you said, April 12th is when you got there. That's also the day the president died, FDR, but the battle's been going for a week and a half by that point. What kinds of things did you see as you headed that way?
Well, it seemed to me we were in some foul weather going up there. We arrived, I believe, in late afternoon. Then we could hear the artillery and that. The first morning, probably around 4 o'clock, we had general quarters, and my job was on the 5-inch gun, and I was the third projectileman. They had about 25 of the armed guard were actual gunners or radiomen or signalmen involved. And then they had the 15 of us, and they assigned us two different gun stations, like the 20-millimeter gun. Usually they had two guns, two people on it. With us being there, there was three. So when I was on the 5-inch, we had 10 people on the gun. Now, whether that would have been normal, I don't know, if we hadn't been on there. That was my assignment, was third projectileman. You had a second projectileman, and you had a first projectileman who actually dropped the projectile in the trough of the gun. So, but my responsibility, I had what they call a ready box, and it had 25 projectiles in it. I set the fuses on all those projectiles to different times, maybe a 2-second fuse, a 5-second fuse, a 10 or 12-second fuse, depending. So we had a mixture. When the gun captain called for a projectile, he would usually tell me what projectile he wanted as far as time was concerned. So the projectiles were about 50 pounds. I couldn't lift one today, but but anyway, the first morning, we went to general quarters, and we were being attacked, and we saw this, I can't identify the planes. They had Kates, they had Bettys, they had Zeros. I would imagine this was probably a Zero, but it was coming in, and it was coming in facing the fantail of the ship. They were just coming in towards us from the right, and as it was coming in, it looked like it was heading for us. We were firing on it. At one point, though, he turned, because there was a big cruiser on our port side, and it was the Portland.
So this plane is coming in, and had you heard of or been made aware of this phenomenon of the kamikaze attack yet?
I can't say I was, and I can't say I wasn't, because I really don't remember. But I remember sitting on one of the hatches and watching some of the star shells being shot up to light up the sky. So there must have been some aircraft coming over then. But we weren't at general quarters, and it was in another part of the bay, I guess. But the first morning then, when we got called to general quarters, then we saw things happening, guns firing. But the surprise was that the Portland didn't open one of their guns. I don't understand that. But anyway, after we hit the plane, it landed, I'd say, anywhere from 100 to 50 to 100 yards from the Portland.
Well, so I want to get the full taste of this. So you're watching this plane. It's coming toward your ship, and you guys are all at general quarters. You're hoping to shoot it down. It turns. It's going toward the Portland, and the concept that you're sharing with us is it was going to try to crash into the Portland.
We figured that was going to happen, but as it turned, we fired our gun, and we hit our shell hit the plane. It didn't blow it up at that time, but it hit it enough to where it couldn't make it to what it was trying to do.
So that shell from your ship saved a lot of lives on the Portland.
I would think so. I never thought of it that way, but yeah, probably.
Because the plane would have crashed into it. It might have dropped a bomb right before impact. And I've talked to guys who survived those kind of kamikaze attacks. You're talking dozens, maybe hundreds of lives.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
So that was a welcome to the war moment for you?
Oh, yeah, that was exciting. I wasn't scared. I got scared later. No, it was, one of those moments that your adrenaline is flowing and,
What are some of the other moments that stand out for you?
We lost the two ammunition ships before us. That was the Hobbs and the Logan. And they came into Okinawa on April 6th. And the day they came in was the day they got sunk. And they didn't blow up, but they were caught afire and exploded finally after the people that did survive get off. And I think in each case, it was about a third of the crew that were lost, and the two-thirds were saved.
And did you all know that when you were going to Okinawa?
No. No, we didn't know anything about that.
Probably a good thing.
Yeah, I would say so. Otherwise, you tell the captain, turn around. Yeah.
And you gave us a little hint there. You said, you know, that first taste of combat is you're shooting down that Japanese kamikaze. You weren't scared, but you would get scared later. What's the story there?
Well, I think with as the days went on and seeing the action and stuff and waiting to see hear that gunfire made you nervous. After we fired a gun, there was no problem, but the anticipation, the anxiousness of what was going to happen next. Then you get a little bit thinking, you know. But
and how long did you all stay there at Okinawa?
We were there for 2 weeks approximately. I think it was 12 days. While we're there, we're doing our job right off the bat, working on unloading the ship. And the Army's sending out ducks. We'd load two cargo nets in each duck. And we had an Army lieutenant aboard our ship who was in charge of the cargo.
So you're unloading all this ammunition that you brought to Okinawa.
And so the Army, by this time, two ammunition ships gone, they're not getting any ammunition. And what the primary thinking about our ship was that we were going to be a floating warehouse, and we'd stay at anchor for maybe a month or a month and a half. And as the Army needed the ammunition, we, as part of the crew, would unload it. Well, that's all good in theory, but it didn't happen that way because they needed the ammunition yesterday, you know, that type of thing. So what they did, they decided to bring a CB battalion, a stevedore CB battalion aboard, and unload us completely right away. That's why we were only there for about 12 days. So anyway, they came aboard. They were a black battalion. They slept wherever they could sleep while they were on the ship. Got acquainted with a few of them. But they were doing the stevedore work. So they had different size crafts coming alongside to load up, like an LST, an LCI, depending on what was available. They were unloading this as quick as they could. And it wasn't like containers, you know, it was all hand done. And so we lost our job there, but we had our job on the gun, so we were still pretty busy.
I mean, you know that another kamikaze could come your way at any time, right?
We had 32 air raids in 12 days.
Is that all, 32?
32. That's all. So, and a lot of them were at night, you know, so we didn't get to bed much. We were eating up on the guns. We were drinking our coffee up on the guns. So, we were there quite a few hours. The other incident was that this one night, we had some high-altitude bombers flying over us. And when the gun captain called, he said he wanted a 12-second fuse. So I sent one up, and then he give me another one, and I sent that up. And he says, give me another one. I says, I don't have another one set up 12 seconds, just a minute. And I had my life jacket on with my light on it, and by the light, I was setting the fuse. And I set another 12-second fuse and sent it up. I didn't think we hit anything, but we were firing on them.
Maybe this question isn't easy to answer. Maybe it is. Is there something that you look back on all these years later, whether it was during the Battle of Okinawa or before or after, is there something that you look back on and you say, you know, that was probably my closest call, that something could have happened to me there?
You know, I guess in my sub-mind, the Lord was there for me, but you know, I didn't give it an awful lot of thought. And as the story goes on, you'll find out why?
Well, that sounds like a natural spot to take our final break. When we come back, why Mr. Stokes would love to have you visit the SS Jeremiah O'Brien in San Francisco, and what his recent honor flight to Washington, D.C. meant to him. Hometown Heroes will be right back after this.